Part 2. Joanna and I came down rather late to breakfast the next morning. That is to say, late for Limstock. And I was annoyed to see Amy Griffith standing on the doorstep talking to Megan. 9:30 is not the time for a morning call. "Hello there, you lazy pair," she called. "I just wanted to ask Miss Burton if she had any vegetables she could give to our Red Cross sale. If so, I'll get Owen to call for them in the car." Megan came back into the house and went into the dining room. At that moment, the telephone rang, and I went into the hall to answer it. "Yes," I said. The noise of deep breathing came from the other end, and a female voice said, "Oh." "Yes," I said again. "Oh," said the voice again. Is it Little Furs?" "This is Little Furs."
"Oh,"
the voice said once more, then asked,
"Could I speak to Miss Partridge for a minute?"
"Certainly," I said. "Who shall I say?"
"Oh, tell her it's Agnes, would you? Agnes Waddle."
I put down the telephone and called up the stairs. "Partridge, Agnes Waddle wants to speak to you." Partridge appeared with a brush in her hand.
"Agnes Waddle? Whatever can she want now?"
She put down her brush and came down the stairs looking very angry. I escaped into the dining room, where Megan was eating bacon and eggs alone. So I opened the morning newspaper, and a little later Joanna entered.
"Phew," she said. "Is it true that there are no green beans at this time of year?"
"August," said Megan, and got up and went out of the French doors onto the veranda.
"Well, one has them any time in London," said Joanna.
When I had finished my breakfast, I followed Megan outside. Standing on the veranda, I heard Partridge enter the dining room.
"Can I speak to you a minute, Miss Burton?" she said. "I am very sorry that someone called me on your telephone. The young person who did it should have known better, because Agnes used to work here. She was only 16 then, but she hasn't got a mother or any family. And that's why I'm asking if you would allow her to come here to tea with me this afternoon. It's her day off, you see, and she's worried about something and wants to talk to me about it."
Joanna said,
"But why shouldn't she come to tea with you?"
Partridge stood up very straight as she replied,
"It has never been allowed in this house, miss."
"It's no good, Joanna," I said when Partridge had gone and my sister had come outside. "Your sympathy is not welcome. You are not respected for it." Joanna said,
"Oh, I'm a complete failure today, with Amy for knowing nothing about vegetables, and with Partridge for being a human."
Then Megan, who was now standing in the middle of the lawn, came back towards us and said,
"I must go home now."
"What?" I said. She went on,
"It's been very good of you to have me, and I have enjoyed it, but I must go back because, well, it's my home, and I can't stay away forever, so I think I'll go this morning."
Both Joanna and I tried to make her stay, but she was determined. So finally, Joanna got out the car and drove her back to Mr. Symington's house.